This is the 25th of February, 1987, the regularly scheduled meeting of the Senate Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources.
Sources will come to order. We have a rather full agenda this afternoon. First on our agenda is a consideration of the governor's appointment of Norma Paulus to the Northwest Power Planning and Conservation Council. Welcome.
Thank you.
Would you like to lead off with some kind of a statement for us about your service on the council?
Not particularly.
Well, I have a number
For your record, Mr. Chairman, my name is Norma Paulus, and I live at 3090 Pigeon Hard Pole Road South, 97302.
I have a number of the statutes have a fairly specific list of requirements in terms of conflict of interest, and I'd like to just briefly run through those with you.
Sure.
For the record. It requires that you not have any stock in a utility or direct service industry that's within this, I gather it would be within this region, but I'm not even sure. It doesn't just say within a utility.
I do not, nor does my husband.
Okay. It further says that you or members of your household cannot be directors, officers, agents, or employees of the utility or a consulting firm working for the utility.
I am not. I'm a member of the Pacific Northwest Rail Board, but that's not covered by the statute.
Okay. That's, yeah, good. Okay. In addition, it specifies that you, through your business or trade or profession, cannot receive compensation from a utility or a direct service industry. Are you receiving any compensation?
No.
In the house?
No.
Okay. That's all on the record now. Thank you. I had a number of questions. One was, there's really two, in my mind, there's two major areas that the council deals with, has dealt with, and will continue to deal with. One has to do with the Fish and Wildlife Program. The other has to do with energy conservation as a part of the overall energy plan. I guess I'd first like to ask you just what your views are of the Fish and Wildlife Program that has been developed, and is it being adequately implemented on the Columbia River today?
I was just left Bob Duncan and two other members of the committee, one from Idaho and one from Washington, and I was to be briefed on their fish policy this afternoon. And after they'd set the meeting, we learned of the confirmation hearing. So I know very little about what they've done specifically, because the man I'm replacing stayed on duty until a week ago, because he was chairman of the fish section of the council, and they were going through the amendment process. So I have not had an opportunity to be briefed on that. I have some a history of being very involved in that issue from the environmental standpoint, and I've been told by the commissioner, the chairman, that I will be on the power side. And he's been on the power side and is going to sit on the fish side this next time around. So I don't know any of the specifics of their plan. I know about it generally.
Okay. There's a lot of specifics we could get into, but I don't think there's much point in getting into them, if you're basically getting brought up to steam.
I'd be happy to tell you what my background is and what my biases are.
Good, I'd love to hear what those are.
Well, my first session in the legislature, I served on this Natural Resources Committee, which was the one that we had before the Environment Committee, and I served on that. So I've been very involved in the environmental issues and have a very strong environmental record. The hatchery bill was going through the committee at the time, and I vigorously opposed that because of an alliance I had with the Northwest Steelheaders and other environmental groups. And I've continued to be very concerned about the depletion of wild stock and the quality of water, and my record speaks to that concern.
Okay. I had one, just in, I guess I'd like to hear what your thoughts are about conservation for the region, even in the era of energy surplus, what your views are about, you know, the need for conservation.
I have strong feelings about that also. I think that won't be long before we have another energy crisis. Everything points to that. And it would be very short-sighted to stop any conservation effort.
I like that answer.
Are there further questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
Norma, your thoughts about Hanford and whether or not the power plant there ought to be shut down immediately, or and also you're aware of the initiative that the legislature is, that's working its way through the legislature, that will be on the ballot in May, and your thoughts about that as well.
Well, I have consistently said that I thought that the AIM reactor ought to be shut down permanently. And I think that it's a very good thing for the legislature to pass out an issue on the ballot. I would have some reservation if you weren't going to put a companion piece on it. I'm kind of against advisory votes in general, and they're costly. But I think it's very important for the citizenry of the Northwest to send a very clear message to Congress that we are very opposed to that and that we are unified in it.
Thank you.
Senator Cohen.
To follow up a little bit on the end reactor situation, I know that the Power Council has made some recommendations, and sometimes controversial, about whether to reserve and start the WHPS plants and what status of the WHPS plants would be. And in light of closing down end reactor, there's some debate about whether you shouldn't be reauthorizing a substitute there. And I guess I'd just have, if you have any feelings or general biases, as you call them, or have you, about how you would think in terms of the WHPS plants and the ones that are existing and how.
Well,
that
up until about 10 o'clock this morning, I had thought that was a fairly simple thing to address, but I found out in 2 hours between 10 and 12 that it is not. It's a very complicated issue as far as the statute is concerned and the demand side and the default situation and what that would amount to as far as the energy situation is concerned. So I really have not been fully briefed on that. I have been in opposition to nuclear power plants all my political career, with the exception of the initiative on the ballot this last November, which would have closed down Trojan, and I spoke out at every opportunity against that because I thought that that would be send yet another terrible message about our state and business. So I don't have any great desire to see any plant start up like that, but it's how it relates to the council and what the council is doing right now. I can't speak to it with any authority.
Further questions?
Make a motion, Chair.
Senator Monroe.
Mr. Chair, I would move that the Senate Ag and Natural Resources Committee recommend to the full Senate the approval of Norma Paulus to the Northwest, to the Pacific Northwest Power and Conservation Planning Council.
Senator Monroe has moved that the Ag and Natural Resources Committee recommend Norma Paulus's confirmation for this appointment. Is there any further discussion? Certainly,
Chair.
Senator Henry.
Certainly, when it's been the last time, we've seen such an impressive resume before us.
Thanks.
My comment would be that I'm very enthusiastic about this appointment. I have no doubt at all that you'll do a very good job of representing both the interest that this state has in the Fish and Wildlife Program and in continued conservation, which I think I personally believe is just an absolute priority, that we are, as you say, very short-sighted if we think the surplus will last for very long. Mm-hmm. And I was very glad to hear that you say that. I think that's a real fundamental kind of belief. Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Senator Brenneman.
Aye.
Senator Cohen.
Aye. Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Senator Kintai.
Aye.
Senator Monroe.
Aye.
Senator Bradbury.
Motion is aye. Motion is adopted.
Thank you very
Senator
much.
Senator Brenneman, you had expressed an interest in carrying the...
Please.
All right. Senator Brenneman, would you please carry that? Thank you very much.
I'm going to leave now, if that's all right.
That's fine. We're glad. Thank you. Next item of business I wanted to take up was introduction of committee bills.
Glad Neil's putting considerable background that could use the word.
Lisa, are these the committee bills that the committee members have received right here?
Right. Okay. There's the ones up here that they have not seen yet.
Okay, well, we're going to deal with them Friday, aren't we? Okay. We have... Sure. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 LC drafts. LC 2102. LC 2018. And... LC 2736 and LC 2738 and LC 3200. Senator Monroe.
You want them one at a time or all together?
No, all at once.
Okay, I would move that the aforementioned LC drafts be introduced as committee bills.
Senator Monroe moves that we introduce the list of list of LC drafts that I just read off for the record. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay. Now we got 3:30. Okay. I should just announce we had on the agenda today the Columbia Gorge Bill 2472. And we've had a request from the governor's office to hold off on moving on that until they get everything, all the signals straight with Washington on the wording and the compact. And I agreed to do that, so we won't be taking that bill up today. Yeah. So we want to open the public hearing on Senate Bill 337. And... Representative Soa.
For the record, my name is Larry Soll, and I'm a state representative from District 26 in Clackamas County. I come to you today in support of Senate Bill 337, and I've had the community administrator hand out my first handout. I'll have a couple others as I get to them, if you don't mind. To explain what that handout is, during the last session in the legislature, there was a problem that arose with landowners being concerned about animal damage. And as a result of a letter that went to the commission, a animal damage task force was appointed during the interim. And if you look on the last page of the task force report, you'll see an addendum to the task force and a report, and it was a recommendation from the task force for some things that should be done, and those are in the way of what appears on the front page. There are things that we think the task force thought was necessary in order to make the animal damage response time and things that can be done for landowners more effective. I do support the Senate bill, and what I'm asking for with that handout is an additional $2 added on by an increase in the deer tag to cover those animal damage problems that we're having throughout the state. And I'm sure that you can't read that task force report right now, and the commission is just now in the process of looking further at the task force report and possibly adopting it. But I think we should start now with earmarking some money so that we can fulfill the directions of the task force. In addition to that, I'm going to hand out another piece of material. I've introduced House Joint Memorial 11, which is a Snake River Breaks Habitat Improvement Area, and it's a mitigation for a dam over there on the Snake River. And it's for habitat improvement. I think it just indicates where we are in our habitat improvement program in Oregon. We're just way behind. And this single sheet papers would tend to fund some additional habitat improvement, and it would be in a phased-in program. And then the thicker sheets of paper are a complete habitat restoration plan that I think the committee ought to take a look at, and we ought to start working on some way to fund that. However, the total money that would be responsible or necessary for that plan is about $5 million. So the original bill that the Fish and Wildlife Department would have introduced would have provided the money. However, on the scaled-down version that's before you now, there won't be funds in that bill to come anywhere near funding this project. And one other thing I'd like to talk to you about is some people that hunt bighorn sheep in the state have in the past requested authorization for a sheep tag to be auctioned off, and we're close to getting that going. But there's in addition in this bill, which the department will tell you about, there's authorization for the first time to allow non-residents to apply for these bighorn sheep tag. On a second page on line 37 says the sheep tags shall be decided by the commission, but shall not exceed 5% of all mountain goat or mountain sheep tags, basically. And I'm suggesting an amendment there to say that shall not be less than 5%, no more than 10%. I think basically, Mr. Chairman, with all the material I've given you to read, that should be sufficient testimony. Thank you.
Let me make sure I understand what it is you're proposing. You're proposing this bill is a fee increase bill that proposes a fee increase. You are proposing an additional, beyond what the bill currently proposes, an additional fee increase of
$2.
$2
on the deer tag.
On the deer tag.
Yes.
Not the elk tag.
And that would raise somewhere around $700,000. And you'll see on the first handout there the programs that we really need to make the Animal Damage Task Force report effective. We need that kind of money.
Increase packages. Mm-hmm. Now, the proposal for $2 on the deer tag does not fully fund all of these increase packages.
It depends on who does the figuring, I guess. I felt, in the way I figured it, pretty closely do it. I'm not sure, but I think the department has the figures that that probably their analysts came up with.
Okay, so the current proposal put in by the department does not fund any of these decision packages.
That's right, does not fund any of those task force recommendations at all.
Could have stood up late. Really.
Okay, now the task force, the damage task force, they adopted a position, when I looked through here briefly, it appeared that they adopted a position that said the fees should be increased in Oregon to be the average of the 11 western states. I
yes.
think, was that the right number, 11?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Is that what Senate Bill 337 does, or is what your proposal is do that?
Neither, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
The original bill that was drawn up and presented to the executive department by the department would have made the fees equal to the average of the 11 western states. And the executive department cut out basically the deer tag, which would have raised a couple $1 million. And so it was dropped down. Well, the elk tag was dropped down also.
You don't have in here anywhere, and maybe we'll get it later, a comparison of the fees in the 11 western states?
The department should have
we'll
that.
Get that. Mm. So we can look at that later and
yes.
see. Okay. Any further questions for Representative Soa? Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Bellamy.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Bill Bellamy, House District 55. I'm meeting here as a chairman of the task force on the damage control task force that was appointed by the Fish and Wildlife Department over a year ago. We have completed our work and have, and I, Representative Soa has probably indicated some of this. We completed our work in January and presented our report to the commission, the Fish and Wildlife Commission. The commission adopted the report, unanimously adopted the report for the purposes of sending it out to public hearing. And so now the process is that it is being set up for a public hearing process to take it out to the state for comments, and then it, we would like to think for official adoption by the commission. You have a copy of that report, I believe. I saw you looking at something. Yes.
So the task force report? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, the second page, yes. Okay.
Okay.
The actual money packages here that you see are under the heading of Larry Soa's official stationery is something that has been added since the request of Larry Soa by for information for the department and special packages that kind of relate to some of the items at the very back of the packet of the task force report for fee increases. My statement as chairman of the task force would be that the task force unanimously agreed that fee increases in big game licenses and hunting should be done, and the money should go to the big game side of the management of wildlife. That would be a unanimous agreement and recommendation from the task force.
Say that one more time.
That there should be fee increases for big game licenses and hunting.
What is big game license?
I'm talking about deer and elk.
Okay.
But you've got sheep, and you've got several other what we call big game management type big game species. The money that is collected from those fee increases should go for big game wildlife management, because we want to separate that somewhat from the fish side. When we have the fee increases for fish licenses, you would like to think that goes for fisheries, and so we make a little distinction here. this would not be a recommendation that would be popular with some constituencies. However, you'll hear from the Oregon Hunters Association, which kind of represents the hunters, and they totally, almost unanimously agree that there ought to be fee increases. You and I know where the objection to fee increases comes from. It comes from individuals more. I can tell you the agricultural groups would not necessarily be in favor of the increases. But the agricultural representatives from the cattlemen and so forth that served in the task force, they both agreed, both individuals, agreed that that we need some fee increases. It's not popular, and we all know that. But I also will tell you this, that if there's any reason why we have tremendous problems with damage to private landowners, and there is a perception that there is nothing being done about this damage, I will tell you it's simply because the Fish and Wildlife Department have not had any budgetary increases in the big game management side of their budget. Now, Bill, you'll know better whether they've had increases in the fish side because you understand that side, but I can tell you on the big game management wildlife side, there's not been an increase. Matter of fact, there's been cuts. And the cuts, I will tell you, come directly or indirectly to damage. So I really thank Representative Soa for putting together these packages and asking the department to put together these packages. I will call your attention to number 5. I would tell you that personally, I would say that it has to be right at the top of the list. And I think universally we find a lack of confidence in the counting techniques being used in big game throughout the state. Everybody does not believe in the counts the Fish and Wildlife produce. And I'm not going to say this money is going to solve that problem, but one of the things that you will find, and that we found as a task force, that as the budget started getting lower and lower and cuts being made, such things as the use of helicopters for hunting became cut out of the budget. And then we'll find that the staff time would be spent more on horseback or manually counting these animals over routes that have been statistically done and historically done. And what I've got to tell you is that we're spending a lot of money out there for physical counting of animals that I know can be done differently and better with additional funds. And therefore, we are releasing staff time to work on damage complaints. One of the ironies is that somebody can spend 2 to 3 weeks out on a horseback counting animals that might be able to be done in a half a day to a day on a helicopter. Then that individual would have 2 weeks to spend working with agricultural people on damage complaints. Now, I know in my own mind which is a better use of our money. But it falls back to a budgetary problem. And I consider number 5 really critical. I will also tell you that number 3 is any expansion of the green forage program, in my opinion, would be an excellent use of resources. It is working, it is successful, and it's probably the best thing that's been created or innovated in the last 10 years as far as damage control. When it is done properly, it out in the field in which the task force saw it being done, consistently being done very well, was accepted very well. So the green forage program is something that any money put into that program is excellent use of money. The others are also very good. Number 2, the telemetry projects in the over around the Pendleton Pilot Rock area was a fascinating project. And telemetry is nothing more than putting monitoring devices on the elk and then monitoring their movement. Okay. The biologists will tell you they learn more from this one project in elk movement than they've learned in many years. It's a fascinating program and what they found out. But the budgetary restraints are causing, I understand, in the regular budget for this project to be cut back. what they found in the elk movement directly relates to damage control for farmers and ranchers. They understand the movement about better, and when you understand the movement, you can understand control, and you can understand hunting techniques, and it all fits in. All I'm going to tell you is this. If I was to give you one statement from the damage task force, is that without adequate funds, the damage control program becomes very, very ineffective. Money won't solve it. But without money, nothing can be done that's very effective other than talking to people, and eventually talk gets cheap, and that's the good way to put it. So I would be happy to answer questions as far as the task force report itself or on the fee increases. I'm not near as knowledgeable as Representative So as to the specific fee increases, how they relate to the budget and so forth. The task force didn't go into that.
But let me just clip. The task force did say that, I mean, I presume there are, well, I don't know. I presume that there are some fee increases in the bill, even as it relates to deer. There is some increase. So did the task force...